Welcome back to Stories, Fables, and Ghostly Tales, and thanks for tuning in on this episode. Make sure you give us a big old like, hop on our Facebook and give us a thumbs up, say hi to me on Twitter. Today's episode is all about skinwalkers. Well, have you heard of them? Maybe, maybe not. What about shapeshifters? Well, don't worry, you're about to hear a whole lot more about them, because today we're going to go over their history, what the heck they are, and key stories surrounding skinwalkers right from the source. So let's get started. Skinwalkers are actually tribal Native American Navajo, Hopi, and Ute tribal mythological creatures, and they're actually called Yinal Lushi, which means he or she goes on all fours. I don't know about you, but if I see a person screaming out, "It walks on all fours," in the middle of the night, I'm not about to consider facing that thing. A particular font of knowledge for what skinwalkers are stem from the Navajo witches, Auntie Heeny. And yes, I have probably butchered that, but that is where a lot of the information for skinwalkers came from, and why there is so much mystery around the creature. Information like this would be kept close to their culture and not shared outwardly due to their own fears of the creature, and out of respect for their own culture. Not to mention, the scary part is these Navajo witches are skinwalkers themselves, akin to werewolves, vampires, and especially Wendigo stories of the time. Don't worry, I'll be covering them as well in other episodes. These witches or creatures also referred to as skinwalkers are essentially shapeshifters, with specific abilities to morph themselves physically into wolves, coyotes, bears, birds, or technically any other animal, even perhaps hybrid animals. It was believed that witches would wear the hide of the animal skin to assume its identity, to take on its form and its attributes. Now here's the intense part. They would even have the power to cause others to kill themselves and mind control their victims, with the added advantage of having enough physical agility to outrun cars and leap from hills and cliffs while landing unharmed. These creatures, or rather humans, are extremely powerful. So let's talk about what the skinwalkers look like. Now there are various accounts to go by, but I'll run through a couple of attributes, some of which have been documented over the time and years, as early as the 1500s, on what these creatures looked like. So they had white translucent skin, so sort of see-through, piercing red eyes, and it was also commented that it was never sort of glowing, it sort of just standard, you know, red eyes. They were piercing. They had sinuous muscle, lanky with long fingertips and chisel-sharp teeth, skeletal in form, sort of deformed or an odd bone structure. They had animal horns and was sort of had a strange facial structure, that of a human mixed with an animal. So you can imagine how terrifying this would be, you know, in pitch darkness in the middle of a forest. Or even if you had a gun and you were armed, ready to go, I don't think that would even prepare you to what you see in the middle of the night like this. From what I can tell, they share very similar properties around the strength of a werewolf and the speed of vampires, but their attributes are actually quite different, steeped ritualistically in essentially what is black nature magic, if that's a thing. At least it is something you don't hear often about. So we know they have some powers, but let's look into it in a bit more detail. It's also said that during the initiation of becoming a witch, an earthen natural bond is broken, or rather a cultural taboo is broken, in order to start them on the path to witchery, or rather being a skinwalker witch. Amongst covering the existing content around what skinwalkers can do, there are some unknown magical properties that you might not know about. There are some accounts that outline what skinwalkers can do particularly, which is make any animal sound possible, read any human thought, the power to compound shapeshift, which is the merging of two animals into one, whether this be human or elk and wolf. As long as they can possess those two creatures, they're able to combine those attributes, which is pretty amazing. And they can steal or merge existing skin, so they can actually absorb any human skin. One account actually talks about them locking eyes with a human, and at that point, stealing the skin straight off their body. Can you imagine that? That's a pretty freaky visual descriptor that I'd hate to see. So can you imagine two humans pause in the middle of a forest, and just for no reason, the other person's skin is just being torn from them, from quite a distance away from what I can tell. Like a horror scene out of The Thing. So ensure your house is all locked up, I'm just saying. Using the hair or part of a human to cause hexes or spirits to torment that person, which leads to an interesting Navajo belief that a person should never spit or leave their shoes outside, as a skinwalker can use those to curse you. Also, witch skinwalkers, which I'll call witch walkers because it's easier to say, can create a powder from any corpse that eats the flesh of any human being, or any living being, for that matter. Essentially, it's called a black mass, and it corrupts and feeds off flesh and tissue. One caveat that not a lot of people talk about is that skinwalkers can only be killed if you know their name. So now that we know what they are, where they're from, and what they look like, and also what they can do, let's listen to some accounts. This all happened about 5 years ago. One night, a few of my friends decided after a night of hanging out that we'd go on an adventure about 3 a.m. We took a ride about 50 miles to this old Spanish ruin in New Mexico. That was once the seat of the Inquisition. I can't for the life of me remember what the place is called, so we jumped the front gate to the place and started exploring. One of my friends brought a flute with him, and he started playing. And about 30 seconds into his metalcore playing, something started screaming really, really loud. It was going from wall to wall really quick, screaming the most blood-curdling scream you've ever imagined. We noped the fuck out of there, one of my friends pissed his pants, and drove for a few hours to Banalier National Monument, where we planned to camp out for the rest of the weekend. We got to Banalier at probably like 6 or 7 a.m. and set up camp there. After a few hours just talking about what the hell happened at the ruins, I went to find a bush to piss behind, only about 300 feet from the camp. This is where everything started getting a little bit fuzzy. I remember seeing two dust devils coming my way, and when I turned around, two of my friends were there, and they were motioning me to follow them. I couldn't help but follow them, like I was being pulled behind them in shackles. I followed them for what seemed like 10 or 15 minutes, and then I snapped out of it. These weren't my friends. They had bright red hair, with my friends' faces and cat eyes. Both of these friends were brunette. I stopped walking, and they looked at me with probably the most terrifying gaze I've ever seen. Monsters in movies are nothing compared to this. I turned around and ran as fast as I could back the way I came from. After like 5 minutes of full sprinting, I got back to the bush that I was pissing behind, near our camp. Everyone was there, still sitting around talking, and didn't even notice that I was gone. I told them what happened with the lookalike skinwalkers, and we packed up everything and left probably within 10 minutes and got the hell back to Albuquerque. The second skinwalker story is as follows. Hello, my name is Boo. I live in the Navajo Desert. My dad owns a ranch called Iron Lake. Weird stuff started happening in October 2016. Creatures screaming, shadows looking through my window. I asked my dad, could it be skinwalkers? He told me a legend his granny told him about when she was growing up. She was growing up on an Indian reservation. Nothing weird happened until she got married to a person she was forced to marry. He said to her, if you ever leave me, I will kill your son, your horse, and your parents. On the night of their wedding, she went to their teepee and she woke at 12:15 a.m. And there was a deer that looked humanoid. She said, what are you? It gave the most chilling scream she'd ever heard. It then said,
I am the embodiment of sadness. I am your deepest fears.
It then kicked her husband. He awoke with two broken legs. He was in so much shock that he had a heart attack, then died a week later. They asked her what happened. She told them, and they all said, you saw it. You saw a skinwalker. They asked her, did it say that I am sadness? Her heart stopped. She said it did, crying in fear. Is it coming for me? The chief came to her and said,
no, it won't. It feeds off sadness. We all knew that it was a forced marriage.
He said, stay happy and think of thoughts of joy. She said to my dad, he added,
it feeds off sadness and comes to where you live and eats your sadness. It will go if you stay positive.
She died of a heart attack when I was 12. She was also 100 years old. I was sad for a while because my friend died in a car crash in October. That is why it came. I know that now. Remember, it feeds off sadness. Try to think happy thoughts. Remember that. And our last episode coming right up. A mate I grew up with, Aboriginal bloke. Tall, dead cane grass was everywhere, and we couldn't see far. After I relieved myself, I heard my mate calling me. But it was way away from the camp. It was strange, as if I'd left him at the camp. I waited. He called again, no mistaking his voice. I called back and started walking out towards him. This went on for a little while, changing direction sometimes, but calling me still. Suddenly someone grabs me, and I leap out of my skin and spin around. I just realized I've walked deep into the cane grass and have become disorientated. The person had a very somber face, my mate's face, but deadly serious. Now I'm thrown into confusion and a little angry. What are you doing? You were out in front of me, but now you're behind me. He says, it's not me. We stand still, it's completely silent. I'm starting to get mad, but I can see the fear in his face, and I wait. Sure enough, his voice calls again. Now, I'm freaked out. I'm all wide-eyed staring at him. He whispers, bad spirit. We'll go back to the camp straight away. If I knew where the camp was, I would have run straight up there. So I follow him back, and we finally reach camp. At the camp, he tells how for eons this has happened. People called away by familiar voices. Sometimes they make it back to tell what happened, and sometimes, if they're young, they perish. I know what I experienced, but I always console myself with the explanation that it's some type of mimicking bird. If he hadn't heard me come down and track me, well, I would have no idea what would happen. So, this has been one big episode, but I love doing this. And if you get a chance, give me a big ol' like on SoundCloud, join me on Facebook by searching the show's name, or even say g'day on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter under the name of Stories Fables GT. It's also a great place to submit your own stories. Well, what can I say? Other than stay safe, stay creepy, and be ready for our next episode coming out shortly, here at Stories Fables and Ghostly Tales. See you next time.